Well, good evening, Harvest family. So good to see everybody tonight. I trust we've had a good week. We'll have a word of prayer here in just a moment, get started with our prayer. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Then Brother Cherub will come and we'll have our first song tonight, Glory to His Name, hymn number 195. Lord, we do love you and thank you for your blessings, the joy of service and fellowship. Oh, Father, we do ask that you meet with us tonight and do what only you can do. Father, help us to yield ourselves, our hearts, our minds, to thy sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, administer to us tonight as we sing and as we worship together in the teaching and preaching of thy word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, number one.
I pray that you would help me tonight. Give me clarity, thought, mind, and speech. Help us to learn and glean from the scriptures and take the warnings that are offered to us there in the book of Proverbs. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust everyone has a handout tonight, and we'll get started with our study as we continue through the book of Proverbs. On abundance, I don't want to do a recap or anything. I'll just mention a few other points that we've covered, and we'll go ahead and pick up where we left off. We'll probably spend another week or two in the topic on abundance. Nothing wrong with having things, but it is wrong when the things have you, and that's where the problem comes about. So, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 20 will be our text that we start with tonight. And we've talked about problems of abundance. We've talked about violent and ruthless men, filled and loathing men. We've talked about furious men that lack self-control. Last week, we talked about a house of feasting and conflict that can come with abundance. And tonight, we'll look at abundance can lead to being full but not satisfied. Being full but not satisfied. Proverbs 27 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Hail and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied." Here, hell has hell has a tremendous appetite for the souls of men, always asking for more and more and more. Solomon compares hell with the eyes of men that are never satisfied. And that's what we want to talk about, be concerned about, the aspect of abundance. Again, nothing wrong with having things as long as they don't have you. So this is especially an accurate description of someone who does not know the Lord, or a believer who's not building and developing his relationship with the Lord, or forgetting things that are important. See, he cannot be full and have an abundance of things, but he can be full and have an abundance of things, but not content with that which he has. See, men's quest to fill their greed can end up destroying their health, their families, and their lives. Adam and Eve, if you think about it, had everything in the garden, but were not satisfied. It had cost them everything. Solomon warned us that greed has an effect on the family. With several passages of scripture tonight, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 27 says, "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live." See, people struggle to be content with what they have, focusing on what they do not have. So that's why people struggle, because again, they look at what they don't have as opposed to what they've been blessed with. So why do they do this? The answer is the fact that things do not satisfy people. No matter how many things they have, no matter how many things they possess, they will never be satisfied. Andrew Carnegie, as we know, is a very wealthy man, noted that millionaires who laugh are extremely rare. Millionaires who laugh, I didn't know that, are very rare. Wealth is apt to take smiles away. See, it is the Holy Spirit that enables us to be content with what God has given us. You know, I've read this and I see this, but I don't know that I fully understood it until I spent time on the mission field and in Eastern Europe. Philippians 4:11 says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." To live in a country where you have no heat in your home, no running water, rarely ever any electricity, haven't been paid for 18 or more months, but you keep going back to work because today might be the day they pay me and I get caught up on it. And to see those people that we minister to in Eastern Europe, in the country of Moldova, and yet many of them still at times disappointed, still living a hard life, yes, sometimes on a frown on their life, but to see them at church and worshiping and smiling and praising God for what they do have, instead of focusing on the things which they do not have. So they ask, have you learned to be content? Are you satisfied, content with the things that God has blessed you with? Problems of abundance. Abundance can lead to being full, but not satisfied. Next, our letter F in our numbers that we're going through are letters. Abundance can lead to forsaking the Lord. Abundance can lead to forsaking the Lord. Again, can. I'm not saying that it does. We're going to look at Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9, but I want to give you a little background. Verse 1 of Proverbs 30, Agar is speaking to Ithiel and Ucal, and he emphasizes humility and dependence upon God and his divine sovereignty as he's speaking. And he says in verse 8 and 9, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." You see, some folks do not know how to handle an abundance, and they end up forsaking the Lord. They end up forgetting the Lord, forsaking the Lord, or being discouraged in their relationship. They become independent of the Lord instead of being dependent upon Him, which is a big mistake. You know, we want our children, we raise them, we nurture them, and we put them, not push them, but let them go as they get to that age. And we want them to do well. We want them to succeed in what they are doing, but there comes a time where they must go on their own. And we want them to be sure and to remember to lean upon the Lord. Mom and Dad is still here, but rest in the Lord. And we need to take our own advice sometimes, realizing that we need to rest and look to the Lord for our needs. Friend, we are nothing without the Lord's help and without the Lord's assistance in our life. John chapter 15, again, a verse that we've used before in verse 5. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." So do we lean upon him? Do we rest in him? Or do we look for the abundance to satisfy the needs that we have or needs that we think that we have? Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11 through 14. Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 14. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and when thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." See, Agar basically says here, as I mentioned before in Proverbs, that give me just enough to satisfy my needs. So encouraging, again, ministering in Eastern Europe and speaking with other missionaries in our time in Europe is making comment and people blessing the Lord about the things that the Lord has provided and says, it's what I need for today. It's what I need today. And so often I think we're not grateful for the things that we do have, or we think of the abundance or more is what we need. Let me say again, he was concerned about being so full that he would be deceptive or deny or forsake the Lord. He was also concerned about having so little that he would be tempted to steal and insult the Lord as opposed to going before the Lord for his needs. A couple of examples here are provided in Scripture of those who had a self-sufficient, however, the attitude of who is the Lord. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16 through 21. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Job chapter 21, verse 14, 15, and first part of 16. "Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, For we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Lo, their good is not in their hand. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. When he forsook God in which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. That plentifulness, that providing, of referring to the fatness of what he had, yet he still didn't look to God. I ran across, it gave me a little bit of memory in this of illustration I want to use tonight. And this illustration I'm reading about in these pictures, I have seen myself in the Orthodox Church. The Kremlin, the old walled fortress that was political center of the atheistic communist regime in the Soviet Union, is ironically filled with spiritual symbols. The showpiece of the Kremlin is Cathedral Square, which is composed of entirely of ancient churches and cathedrals. Each Russian Orthodox church has two murals over the exit door on its western wall. The mural of the left depicts paradise. The one on the right depicts hell. Between them, above the door, the Lord is shown on the great white throne. Stalin, Lenin, and other atheistic communist leaders must have passed this square 1,000 times. They were no strangers to the visual image, but apparently were blind to the images of spiritual significance. The same, I think, blindness is what happens to people who forsake the Lord and become independent of his care and of his direction. Now, so often we know of people that have an abundance, that have a good life, that have many things. And these communistic leaders who were atheistic, but yet still attended and associated with the Orthodox Church, it was a church state, and seeing these things in the square, as well as the church, every time they walked through the doors, but yet I'm wondering if they only had tunnel vision and only saw what's in front of them. Here this past week, some of you may have read the article. Brother Darrell sent it to me. Had a long day that day and had not read the headlines, but yet read them that evening. And the gentleman, his name escapes me, but was responsible for the cartoons of Dilbert in our cartoon sections of the newspaper. Wrote for many years, well-liked, very popular man, had a lot of friends, even a friend to our president. And many Christian friends who had witnessed to him countless times about the things of the Lord. And evidently, he had wrote a letter, made a video letter, maybe both, and to those and saying, if you've read this letter, you have it means I probably deceased. And basically, and Brother, you correct me if I'm wrong, he was basically saying that his Christian friends had told him multiple times, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The sad part about it, he did not remember the portion of saying that we are to turn from our sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know it's not enough to believe because James tells us the devils believe and tremble. So mockingly he says, even though I do not believe in God, just to be safe, I'm calling on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a mockery to me. And each time these gentlemen, these atheists, and those who walk through these doors of this Orthodox Church and see those things, it's very similar. It's recognized as it's seen, but yet how can you be in a church? How can you be recognized as being part of a church, but at the same time call yourself atheist and have no belief? Dear friends, if we're not careful, we get caught up in the same mentality of having such an abundance that we need nothing else but the things that we possess. Dear friends, there is so much more than things. Again, nothing wrong with having things, I have them. But you know, there's nothing that I have as far as possession and things, my home, my car, our vehicles, the things that we have in the home that I've had for years or inherited from family members, they mean nothing compared to my Savior, my church family. I would not trade my church in order to keep those things. I would not trade the relationship I have with my church family or the Lord. But if we're not careful in keeping those things in line of the abundance of things that we have, to make sure they don't have us. So has your abundance caused you to forsake the Lord? Has it caused you to forsake relationships and also your church? Abundance can lead to being full but not satisfied. Abundance can lead to forsaking the Lord. And then letter G, The last one tonight, abundance can lead to selfishness, stubbornness, and falling away from the Lord. In other words, not fully there, as we have a previous point, but going in that direction. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. See, the backslider in his heart is filled or has an abundance of getting his own way. His schemes, his plans fill his life and shut out God's will for his life. Beloved, the habit of constantly indulging ourselves leads to greater selfishness, indifference toward the Lord and his will, and reaping the consequences of being selfish or sinful choices. This is the life of the backslider. That's so important. The farther and farther and further we're away from the Lord, the further and further that we dwell in those things, it sometimes takes a drastic thing to get our attention to come back. What does Solomon mean by the word backslider here in Proverbs 14:14? The word backslider is for the Hebrew word sog or sug, which means a turning away of heart, to move away, to depart, or to go backwards. As easy as that part is, backslider, of going backwards. It seems that at one time his heart was inclined toward God. Now his attitude has changed. You see, the backslider is filled with his own ways. Such attitudes are what drives him away from Christ and cools him down spiritually. Yes, good godly men, good godly women serving the Lord can backslide, can get away from the Lord. That's why, again, I'll use that phrase, keeping short accounts. Staying in fellowship with our brothers and sisters of Christ. Men letting iron sharpen iron and having accountability partners who ask on occasion and talk about things. Again, I really believe with all of my heart that circle that we have, and I'm looking forward to it, to growing on Tuesday mornings, and as our church grows, being able to do something like that for the men who are working schedules that can do it another time. But it encourages me to hear the conversations, to hear the challenges toward one another, to talk about the goodness of the Lord, and even sometimes saying ouch and just being honest. Those things are important to help us to stay on track. Two thoughts are offered by the word filled in this passage of Scripture. The backslider's heart shall be filled with his own ways. The word filled not only indicates abundance, but also satisfaction. Not just being full and having, but being satisfied with those things instead of where our satisfaction should come from. Again, the word it also can mean satisfaction. The backslider seeks satisfaction by putting self first and shutting out Christ. Getting their own way is what satisfies them, but not for long if they do not find any satisfaction in life. Dear friends, our satisfaction should be fully, and all that we need is in Christ. You know, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, chapter 10, verse 8, I get them mixed up sometime, says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." There's where our satisfaction should be. There is where our joy is in our relationship with the Lord and with his people. Getting their own way, again, is what satisfies them. But it's tragic that when a person fills his life with his own schemes, with his own plans, he misses out on the abundance of God's blessings. Filled also can mean to be repaid or to reap the consequences of one's own ways. See, the faithless and selfishness of the backslider will come back to haunt him. See, if you live for yourself, you may end up alone because of the people you hurt and offend by your attitude and by your actions. Selfish people tend to be very unhappy. They find that getting their own way is not as great as they thought it would be. Consider the emptiness of two backsliders. We'll look at a couple illustrations before we finish. Naomi and the prodigal son. First glance, you may think, Naomi? Yes, and the prodigal son? Yeah, that's easy. I guess I would definitely wake up if I was eating with the swine as a Jewish boy. But how did they get there? Ruth chapter 1 in verse 20 and verse 21. And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, For the mighty have dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. And then call me Naomi. Why then call me ye Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? There's only one good thing I can think of being a backslider, is you can come back. You can make things right. You can come back to that relationship. Now, if we're not careful, we'll stretch out backslider to being wicked and evil and being so far away from God. Yeah, wicked, yeah, evil. Yes, a believer, but you're so far away from God. Let me disagree with you just a little bit. If you're not in the same place with your walk and your relationship with the Lord today as you have been in the past, you're backslidden. You may not be off in gross sin, but you're not where you were. And that's exactly what our author is talking about as we read there in Proverbs. A backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Just if I'm away from the Lord, and I've given this illustration before, if I'm not where I need to be, I may not have fallen into sin yet, but I'm on my way. I'm on my way if I don't turn and make myself back with the Lord and having that relationship. Those of us in here tonight that are married or have been married, you know what I'm talking about. When there's conflict in the home, there's conflict in the relationship, you know that, hey, we're still married, but it's not as sweet as it was before I said or before I did or whatever the case may be. We have somewhat moved away from our relationship when we want to move back. So don't be fooled into thinking, well, you know, my relationship's not what it was, but I'm not off into sin. But no, you're not where you were. You're not as close. You're not walking with him. You don't have that same sweet fellowship. It may mean that you're not off in sin, but you've taken a step away. And that's exactly what backslidden means, not the place where you used to be. So in other words, there could be different degrees or levels or how far you are away from the Lord. Luke 15, and Naomi would have been one that wasn't so far compared to our next example. Luke 15, 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger, referring to the prodigal son. Beloved, some of us have wandered away from our father's house, and has brought us near the point of death. Our hearts have hardened, and our spiritual bodies are lifeless. May not be any of us here, but we might think of someone who might be there. Or it might describe somewhere at once someone who might have been there at one time, but praise God, they're not there anymore. Our Heavenly Father always notices when we're missing and searches for us. Always knows. He knows as soon as we take that half step away from Him, He recognizes. Again, our Heavenly Father always notices when we were missing and searches for us. Let the Lord pick you up and take you back into his care and live your life as you follow his will for your life. Don't allow abundance to derail you in your walk. Use the abundance that the Lord has blessed you with and use it for his glory. Yes, so much that we have in abundance that we can use for his glory. So many blessings that he's given us that we can use for his glory because God blesses us that we might serve him more effectively in our walk in life. So again, tonight as we close, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices, as we mentioned in Proverbs 1, and the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. I'm wonderful and grateful for what God has given me, but I'd give it all away if it meant that's what I had to do to keep my relationship sweet with my Savior. There's the important thing. There's the key that we keep our walk in relationship. So as we close tonight, let me challenge you. Away from the fact of abundance that we've studied, are you as close to the Lord today as you've ever been in your Christian walk? If not, let's work at getting back to that point and developing it more as we continue to serve the Lord and keeping that sweet fellowship. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and do thank you for the blessings and joy of fellowship, of service. Thank you for the faith that you provided for us. Thank you for the church family and families that you've given us. Father, thank you for the fellowship that we can have, the sweet fellowship that we can have with you, that we can have with one another, that we can have together toward you as we worship. Lord, help us as we strive through this year of faith, family, and fellowship, that we do all that we can to walk with you in our relationship, and that relationship with you being so sweet will flow over into the fellowship that we have with our church family and others of like faith. And Father, bless us as we minister to reach our community for Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you, his preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. Dom, it's so good to see you. Dame, it's so good to see you back again. Ken and Sharon, it's a pleasure to meet you tonight. If you folks haven't had a chance to say hello, make sure you do that before you go tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.